Hallelujah. And I just want to bless the offering tonight, and then we'll get into the word. If you want to give, you can give any time during the service in the back. And if you make a check, just make it out to VCF. And Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can honor you with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase. And Lord, you promised to let our vats burst out with new wine and for our barns to be filled with plenty. So Father, we bless every offering, every gift, and every giver, Lord. And thank you, Father, that as you receive it, you will bless them abundantly and take care of them sufficiently in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, we'll get into the Word. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 3. Scriptural for men to make coffee, Hebrews. And we're going to begin with verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, you think this is relevant for now? He's speaking to us today, amen? He said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Well, obviously, if they're not listening to the voice, they're not going to know his ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What does God think of unbelief? He thinks it's evil. All right? In departing from the living God. Well, how did they get with God in the first place? There must have been a point where they were with God in order to depart from God, right? But exhort one another daily. How often? Daily. Daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. All right? While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved with 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear that he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So hardening our heart would be the opposite of yielding to God. See, if you had a choice, you can either yield to God or you can harden your hearts. And the Bible is very clear, God doesn't want us to harden our hearts. But he wants us to yield to God's will completely. So in other words, let's say you're doing your thing, whatever your thing is. If you're cooking, if you're mowing the grass, if you're cleaning, if you're working on something, and all of a sudden God comes to you, a thought comes to you from God to do something or to change something or to correct something or whatever it is. Now you've got a choice. Are you going to stop what you're doing and let God's will have his way? Are you going to let him have the way? Because that's what it means to yield, right? To let one that's coming have their way, right? You know, we know the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus was visiting, and he was good friends with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And, you know, you got to understand, wherever Jesus traveled, there was always more than one. There was a group. He had at least, 12 disciples and whoever else that would follow him. And, so Martha, she was taking care of the house. And what was Jesus doing? He was sitting down and he was teaching, or he was talking. And what are the words that Jesus says? What are those words? Their life and their spirit. Bible says in John 6 that the word that Jesus speaks, their spirit and their life. Okay? So, and I'm not picking on Martha by any means, but when Jesus was sitting there and he was revealing the will of the Father, he was revealing truths about the kingdom, and whatever Mary was doing, she put on hold. And the Bible says that she sat at his feet. What was she doing? She was yielding to God completely. In other words, she was allowing Jesus to have his full attention, to have her full attention, I mean. And she was taking in what he said. It was going into her heart. And, Martha got upset, didn't she? She said, "Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to get with the program here?" All right, I'm paraphrasing. And what did Jesus say to Martha? He said, "Martha, Martha." You know, when Jesus says your name twice, you better just get on your knees and get into an attitude of prayer, right? Simon, Simon, Saul, Saul. Whenever he says your name twice, he's about to correct something in your life. All right? And that correction is inevitable. "Martha, Martha, you are concerned about too many things." What was Martha doing? Martha wasn't yielding to what was most important at the moment. At that moment, they needed to hear what Jesus was saying. At that moment, they needed to hear the words of life that was coming forth out of his mouth. And that in that moment, that became the most important thing. And even Jesus told Martha, he said, "Mary has chosen the better part." I want you to notice it's a choice to yield. God won't force you to yield, but he'll come across your path. He'll give you an opportunity to yield to him. And whether or not you yield to him, that's your choice. And there will be times in your life, I'm not saying it's every day, but there will be times when you need to get what God is saying. And you need to yield to him, and whatever else, you just need to put it on hold for just a moment and allow him to speak whatever he needs to speak into your life. You realize that could save your life. That could lead you to a blessing that was so rich. All right? Go with me to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. So how do you develop a heart that willingly yields to God? So whatever God says to you, whatever God leads you to do, do you realize that takes precedent over everything else? And we have to stop whatever else we were doing, and we have to yield. Everybody do this. Take a deep breath. And let it out. You just took a moment, you stop what you're doing, and you put yourself in a position to yield to God. In other words, it's just, you can change your focus in a moment. It only takes a moment to change your focus. And sometimes, we got a lot of stuff in this world that we could focus on, but I'm just saying at times, we got to just yield to God. Amen? And we just got to let him do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. Even if it doesn't make sense to us. God is not logical because he's spirit. Okay? Psalm 40 and verse 8. "I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart." See, if you want to be a person that yields to God, you got to be a person that delights in God. You've got to take pleasure in God. Pleasure in hearing God's word, in doing God's word. And you know, you got to delight yourself in God. He says, when you delight yourself in God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Because someone who's delighted in God, they're yielded to God. In other words, you really become like that lump of clay. You know, you can make anything out of clay that you want. If you have a piece of clay in your hands, you can mold that clay, you can twist that clay, you can squeeze that clay, and that clay is not going to say, ouch, oops, don't do that. That's how we have to be with God. How many of us delight to do your will? I mean, you actually take pleasure in hearing God's voice and doing it, putting it into practice. Woo, I got up this morning because I delight to do God's will. I mean, joy and delight, you got to get to that place where you can delight. You got to get God's advice and get his perspective. You got to make the word the final authority in all matters. Amen? If you have an argument, this right here is your umpire. And if what you're arguing about isn't in here, you better shut your mouth. Amen? Because then what you're arguing about is probably not going to amount to a whole lot in reality. Right? Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Have you ever thought about how, you know, Jesus, he did miracles. And he said, his disciples, he said, I do what I see my Father do. So when he spit in the blind man's eyes, he saw God spitting. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he saw faith in action because his Father saw faith in action. When he told Lazarus to arise and walk, when he was at his tomb, he heard God say, arise and walk. In other words, Jesus was completely yielded to God at all times. Now, you say, well, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. But did he do the things that he did on earth as the Son of God or as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We know that he is God because he's divine, but when he walked on earth, he did not act like God would act in the sense that how God is almighty. First of all, God is spirit, and Jesus was in a flesh body. He was the perfect God-man, but he was completely yielded to God. That's how he was able to do what he did. That's how God would speak to him and he would do it because he was simply yielded to God's will. He never did anything on his own. Look at verse 30. I can of mine own self do what? Do nothing. Jesus is saying this. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. So what do we know from Jesus? He came to seek the Father's will. And for the years that he had walked this earth after he was baptized and the Spirit of God came on him, those 3.5 years, he was completely yielded to God's will. Guess what? He showed us how to do it. If Jesus could be completely yielded to God's will, then so can you. Come on. Say, I can be completely yielded to God's will. I mean, you can be in a place that wherever you go, God can speak to you, God can direct you, God can lead you, and he can work through you. Because that's what Jesus did. He came, he told his disciples, he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Meat. I mean, he considered doing God's will greater than food. Don't raise your hands, because I'm talking to myself here as well. But really, in comparison, how do our meals compare with our spiritual nourishment? If we eat three times a day, do we read the Bible three times a day? Just something to think about. Well, do you think that if we ate three times a day and if we read God's word three times a day, would it be easier to yield to God's will completely? Just food for thought. See how I tied that in? You know, meat, food. What you doing to us, Pastor? You're making us hungry. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verses 4 and 5. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Why? Why did he do that? The last phrase of that paragraph says it. According to God's will. Do you realize that Jesus was born knowing that he was going to die? And he wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't worried about dying. He didn't even care what kind of funeral he had. Because he knew that dying was just going to be a little bit, because after his death was going to be a resurrection. But he came willingly to die. That was part of God's will, because that was the only way that God could pay for our sins. And Jesus, everything he did based on God's will for him. And there was nothing and no one that could deter Jesus from doing God's will. Oh, the Pharisees tried. They tried to trip him up. They tried to catch him. They tried to get him in a snare, but they could not. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. But Jesus completely yielded to God's will, and so can you and I. We just got to make a decision to stop, drop, and pray. Or in this case, stop, drop, and yield. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3 for a minute. What do we know from what we read? Well, we know that God's got a voice, doesn't he? How do you get familiar with someone's voice? What? Listen to them? Spend time. Do you realize the more time you spend with someone, the easier it is to distinguish and recognize their voice? You know, there was a funny story. My parents were away when I was living at home in Illinois. And I was at home, and my mom called the house, and I answered, and she said, are you home? I said, well, of course, Mom, you called the house, and I answered. You know, and I didn't have to ask who it was. I knew who it was. I said, hey, Mom, how's it going? Are you at home? Well, yes, this is the number that you called, right? But, you know, we got to be able to distinguish God's voice. And, you know, God's voice comes to everyone individually. Now, I've never heard an audible voice like the voice of many waters. But the way God speaks to me personally is it's a still small voice. It's more like an impression. Here's how God speaks to me. Let's just take, for example, this Bible. I lay it on this pulpit right here. That's how God speaks to me. He lays something on my heart. He lays a scripture or a subject or something or a thought. You know, there have been several times when Pastor Fiona and I, we didn't see eye to eye on things. Some of you call it maybe an argument, you know? And, you know, she would just turn me over to God. And I'd go away for a moment, and I'd come back, you know, after I spent some time listening to God and finding out how wrong I was. And, you know, I would come back, and I would make things right because I took some time to listen. How many ears do we have? How many mouths do we have? So we ought to do twice as much listening as we do speaking. What does James say? Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Are you listening to his voice? Are you tuned in to his frequency? Can you hear God speak to you? Because that's extremely important in being able to yield completely to his will. You've got to be able to hear his voice. God's given you ears to hear. The question is, are you willing to adjust the dial so that you can get the right frequency? How many know that on a radio, when the station's not coming in quite right, you got to... But if you make some adjustments on the radio, what happens? You get tuned into the station, and you can hear it clearly. That's what you need to do with God. You got to be tuned into his station. All right? And another thing that we learn from Hebrews is that ignoring God's voice leads to hardening of the heart. You think, you know, the Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. The little things that we ignore God's voice in, our heart gradually gets harder and harder, and it becomes more difficult to listen to his voice. How many know this? You know the poster boy of hard-heartedness is Pharaoh. He heard God's word clearly through the prophet Moses. And Moses would say, let my people go. Now, I know that your Bible says God hardened his heart, but let me tell you something. God didn't harden his heart because who made the decision to kill the baby boys? That was without God working in his life. He made that decision himself. Anybody that's going to kill babies has got a hard heart. But every time he heard God's word, his heart became harder and harder. He resisted. He was stiff-necked. He was obstinate. He was headstrong against what God wanted to do. And the harder your heart is, the harder you fall. Hebrews says, don't harden your hearts. As in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation. What's he talking about? He's talking about when God said, I've given you this land, go in and take it. And they came back and they said, we can't take it because we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They totally rebelled against God, what God said, except for two of them, Joshua and Caleb. Only Joshua, Caleb, and Moses could hear God's voice out of millions. Maybe there was a few more in the group, but there was a lot of people who couldn't hear God's voice. So that tells me that hearing God's voice or being able to hear God's voice, that's a premium skill. That's a skill that you really want to develop. You really want to be able to develop your skill on hearing God's voice. It's so important. So the more you ignore God's voice, the harder your heart will be. And you get to the point where, you know, your hardness brings judgment, like Pharaoh. What happened to Pharaoh? Him and all of his soldiers, his elite soldiers, drowned in the sea because they were so hard-hearted. They refused to listen to what God was saying. I mean, after the third or fourth miracle, even the magician said, "Whoa, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God." I mean, they were saying, you know, they were starting to listen. And another thing we learn from this Hebrews is a hard heart grieves God. It grieves God. It makes God sad when people's heart are hard. You know, some of the prophets, they talked about breaking up fallow ground. How many of you ever planted seed? Who's planted seed? All right? Do you have to do anything to that ground to get that seed ready in the ground? What if you don't do anything to the ground? How easy will that seed get in? Okay? Well, just like a seed will not enter into a hard ground, God's seed will not enter into a hard heart. And it grieves God because essentially a hard heart really is unbelief. God says it, but you say, "Well, I don't believe it." Remember when Jesus went to his hometown? The Bible said he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. But for the majority of what he wanted to do in that place, he was limited because of the unbelief. Hard-heartedness will lead to unbelief. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. So, let's break some cycles tonight. When you leave here tonight, I want you to determine and purpose in your heart that you're going to hear God's voice. And whatever you need to do to enhance your hearing, do it. If that means spend a little extra time in worship or prayer, or spend a little extra time in studying the Word of God, you know, we're not just supposed to read the Word, we're supposed to study it. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If we don't study the Word, we're not going to divide it correctly. It's not just about reading it. "Oh yeah, I read my chapter. I read my whatever today." No, you got to study it. It's not just about reading it. It's about studying it so that you know it. How many has ever taken a test? You studied some way, some form to take that test. Whether you listened in class or whether you went over your homework, there were ways that you prepared to study for that test. And if you didn't study, you didn't pass that test. Or maybe that's just me. And here's the thing. God will warn you if your heart is getting hard. He will interrupt the hardness from taking root. He'll give you warnings. He'll speak to you. You'll be at VCF and you'll hear a message that'll begin to deal with things. Now, that's not the only way, but that's one way that God can deal with things. You know, people have said to me that I'm a mailman, but I'm not a mailman. I'm just a messenger. God's the mailman. He's the one who interprets the mail. I just deliver the message. But God will warn you if your heart begins to get hard. He'll send people to reach out to you. You know, he told us to encourage one another daily. You know, sometimes we need some encouragement, don't we? But you know what? There may be times when you just have to encourage yourself. Like when David was in Ziklag. Him and his men were out doing a raid. And while they were out doing a raid, enemies came into Ziklag, they burned the city, took all the wives and children. And the men get back from this raid, and they're worn out from fighting this battle, and they see the city burned. They see all their family members gone. David's own men were threatening to stone him. He had no one to encourage him. So you know what he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And he asked the Lord, he said, should I pursue? And will I overtake? And will I recover all? And the Lord says, pursue, you're going to overtake, and you will recover all. What did David do? In the midst of this situation that was bad, David took time to yield to God. He took time to get direction. He took time to get a different perspective. How many know when you're in a mess, it's hard to see the perspective, but you got to get out of the mess sometimes. You got to lift your eyes above the mess to get God's perspective. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. And if you don't deal with your hard heart, you'll enter into deception. And when a person is deceived, they don't know it. That's the whole purpose of being deceived. When you're deceived, you don't know it. Only other people pointing it out can let you know that you're deceived. Because when you're deceived, you don't know it. You think you're right. But if you don't deal with your hardness, it'll lead to self-deception. And you basically put the devil out of a job. He doesn't have to deceive you anymore if you deceive yourself. What did James say? Be doers of the word, not hearers only, otherwise you deceive yourself. So if we're only doing one part and not both parts, it could lead us into deception. Sin is very deceptive. You don't know how dangerous sin is until you get into it. And then you can't get out of it because you're trapped and you need a deliverer. But thank God, Jesus is the deliverer. Amen? And Jesus holds the keys to any lock. There's not a lock that can bind you that Jesus doesn't have a key to. What's a key? A key is his revelation being communicated to you. This is good stuff. And I want you to know that you have control as to whether or not your heart becomes hard or not. Whose heart is it? It's your heart. It's my heart. And if your heart becomes hard, it's because you chose to make it hard. It's because we chose to disregard what God is saying. Or we hear what God is saying and we don't do it. That means we don't believe it. Do you realize if you don't do what God says, you don't believe it? That's unbelief. Because you heard what God said, you know what he said, but you're not doing it. That's unbelief. Because faith requires action. So if you know what God says about something and you're not doing it, you're not believing God. Let's move on. Is this helping you? And a hard-hearted person will have a hard and restless life. Notice in Hebrews, they were disqualified from entering into his rest. Man, I don't want to miss out on God's rest. So I tell you what, I certainly couldn't do it on my own. I need God's rest. Amen. And then let's just take the last few minutes here and let's learn how we can submit or yield to God's will. All right? Number one, you got to know what God's will is. 100 bonus point quiz. Where do you find God's will? The primary source. The Word of God. Ding, ding, ding. You all get 100 points. You're super smart. You got to learn what God's will is. You entered into this kingdom not knowing what God's will is, and you got to discover it. It's yours to discover. You know, God's will is like a hidden treasure. Where do you find oil? You got to drill for it, right? Where do you find gold? You got to dig for it, right? You know, where do you find any kind of valuable mineral? Once in a while, you may find it on the surface, but for the most part, you got to dig for it. How do you dig? What you doing? I'm digging. I'm digging. Amen? And if you don't know what God's will is, you can pray Colossians 1:9. You can look that up and see what that is. That's a prayer to find out, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. You pray that prayer and God will fill you. You know, God wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, who is our ultimate example, he came down to do the Father's will. All right? It is possible for every believer in Christ to do what he wants them to do on earth. It's possible. Every one of us is right. We are equipped right now to do what God wants us to do. To go where God sends us. To be who God wants us to be. Right now, we're equipped. Some of us are in training. Some of us are developing the skills necessary to be who God wants us to be. Amen? Know this, preparation time is never lost time. You know, those disciples prepared with Jesus for 3.5 years. That wasn't lost time because they left that 3.5 years and they went and changed the world. They turned the world upside down. They went from 12 to 11 to 120 to 3,120 to 5,000 in a short period of time. Because those 3.5 years they spent training, they were developing their skills. So it's good to develop your skills to be what God wants you to be. You're not to conform to the world or pattern your life after the world. Romans 12:1-2, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You know, the world's got a cookie cutter. And the world will like to squeeze you into its mold. But you know what? You were made from a different mold. You were made out of the image of the Son of God. You were made in his likeness. Amen? You've got greatness on the inside of you, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, right? You've got God's greatness on the inside of you. Let's put God's greatness to work and let's be great. Let's do great things. Let's step out in faith. Amen? Some of you stepping out in faith is simply witnessing to others. Oh, I've never done that. Well, it's about time that we start doing it. Do you realize every believer is called to share with the lost? Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Every one of us know lost people. What are we doing about it? Are we praying for them? Are we looking for opportunities to share? Are we trying to, you know, be Christ to them? That's what we need to do. So we're not to conform to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many want to prove God's will? In order to prove God's will in your life, you got to be transformed. You can't be the old person you were and try to prove God's will. It doesn't work. It's like mixing oil and water. You could put oil and water in a bottle and you could shake it with a paint shaker. You know, like that. And you could shake it 1,000 times, but that oil and that water is never going to mix. Just like light and darkness don't mix. In order for you to prove God's will real, you got to be transformed. You got to think differently. You got to act differently. You got to walk differently. You got to talk differently. Praise God. You got to set your heart on pleasing God. Ephesians 6:9, be a God pleaser. If you want to please God, say amen. Amen. Is it hard to please God? No, it is not hard. Sometimes our flesh doesn't want to participate. And we got to bring our flesh. You're coming with me, flesh. Okay, flesh, you don't want to praise the Lord. You're going to, you know, sacrifice a praise. That's when you don't really want to praise him, but you give him a sacrifice. Make your flesh praise him. Well, I don't feel like raising my hand. Raise your hands. Do you realize if you don't do something because of how you feel, you're being led by your feelings? You just struck oil. That was gold right there. You've got to let the Lord make your plans and check with him first before you make major decisions. If you've got a major decision in your life, you better spend some time praying and seeking God. Because otherwise, you could very well make the wrong decision. Believe me, I've made lots of wrong decisions because I didn't take the time to seek God. And the decisions that I made that were good, I took time to seek God. So, good results, seeking God. Bad results, not seeking God. I think I'll seek God. Amen? Doing God's will has lasting and eternal benefits. God's retirement plan is out of this world. Amen? So don't think about checking out early. In other words, stick around till your purpose is fulfilled. Otherwise, we might visit you in heaven and say, how come you left early? You left us with all that work that you were supposed to do. Yeah, don't be leaving early. None of this rapture practice. You don't practice for the rapture until your course is done, until you finish your race with joy. Amen? Yeah, you don't worry about practicing for the rapture because when you're doing God's will, you'll be caught up in the rapture, no problem. All right? And finally, Jesus himself is the oil that keeps you running smoothly to do God's will. Every once in a while, you need a boost to do God's will. Well, Jesus has got a pair of jumper cables that he walks around with. And he'll give you a spiritual boost whenever you need it. Right? He'll create a time of refreshing like tonight. Did you know what? In Acts 3:19, it says times of refreshing. It didn't say a time of refreshing, times a. Because you're going to have times in your life where you're going to need refreshed. You're going to need a boost. You're going to need a pick-me-up. The Lord is the glory and the lifter of your heads. When you're down, he'll pick you up. When the enemy's trying to drown you, you'll pop up like a buoy. And the enemy will get so frustrated because his plans don't work. The enemy will take aim at you, but his gun won't fire because the weapons, what's that scripture? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It may be pointed at you, but it's not going to work. It's going to be a dud. You want to keep the enemy firing blanks? Do God's will. Do what he wants you to do. Be where he wants you to be. But that may mean in order to get to where God wants you to be, you might have to make some changes. Oh, I don't like change. Well, you might as well learn to like it because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. How many know change happens? And there's a lot of changes, things that change that I didn't prepare for, but you just got to go with the flow. Amen? But we got to yield completely to God's will. That means you may be walking down the street and God says, turn left. You just got to be willing to turn left. You got to be willing to let him interrupt your plans at times. Why? Because they're your plans. They may not have been his plans. They're your plans and they're not going to produce the results that you need. You got to go with his plans. Amen? Father knows best. Jesus will strengthen you. He's already equipped you with everything you need. He's given you his word. He's given you the Holy Spirit for strength and power. He's shed his blood for you. There's nothing more that he can do for you. I want more of Jesus. Well, you got it all. You can't have more of him. He's already given it all. What are you doing with what he gave you? That's the thing. You know, when you encounter more light, that means more responsibility. Because the more you know, the more you do. Amen? Isn't that right? If you're faithful with little, he'll make you ruler over much. So how many are ready to yield to God's will tonight? I want you to stand up. And I want you to take a position of surrender. Put your arms up. The Holy Ghost is about to arrest some of you. And just say, Lord, I am yours. Have your way in me. I yield control. You are Lord. Direct me, lead me, guide me in the way that I should go. And I will go because I love you. Amen. Now let's just give him praise. Just praise God. Forget about what's happening in your life for this moment. Put full attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You can't add anything to your life by worrying about it. And just begin to yield. If you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's how we build our faith. Building up your faith on your most, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what Jude 20 says. And while we're yielding to God, if you're here tonight and you need a supernatural boost, you need you need a touch from the anointing of God. I want you to come up right now and receive a touch from God for whatever you need in your life. If you need a boost, come and get your boost right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, you said that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Fill her right now. Fill her full, overflow. Ooh, strength, strength. Ha. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Father, right now, Lord, satisfy her mouth with good things in the name of Jesus. Lord, just give her a fresh touch, a new and fresh anointing. Breathe on her, Holy Spirit, and have your way in the name of Jesus. Lord, lead her into a greater supernatural realm. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father. It's a realm of rest. It's a realm of having God's best. So do it for her right now, Father, in Jesus' name. A fresh touch from your Father God as he lays his hands on you. Blessings flow in the name of Jesus.
I wanted to share something about the will, yielding to the will of God. It is not possible for you to do the will of God completely without including help.
Amen.
So if you feel like you've been trying to do God's will for your life, but you haven't engaged help, that's probably where you're stuck. Because everything, every instruction God ever gave anybody else, it included them involving somebody else. Even if the will meant helping somebody else, there was always a person involved. So you have to watch whatever it is that God, where you're stuck. There's somewhere, somebody has somebody to help you with fulfilling God's will for your life. But the reason why, it's your responsibility to get the help. God will give you the information and give you the instruction, but you have to be the one to accept. So there are a couple things I would recommend that you start building in your life. You should start building the ability to have relationship with people, because it's going to involve other people. And you should have the ability, you should start asking the Holy Spirit to teach you how to communicate to people what His will, what He wants you to do. Ask Him how to communicate what you need from people or what information you're looking for. But it includes other people. You have to include other people. That's why it's so important to have a church too. You know, God put people in the church or somebody in the church that has answers for you. So sometimes we get, and this is another way that we won't get in pride. You know, if God gives you some big assignment or asks you to do something, you can't possibly, you have to be humble to do it because you have to go ask for help. And it's when we think that, you know, God give us this big thing and it's such a big thing and nobody else could help. Or we know we've already been trained, so what could other people offer? There's always a missing piece that you will never have the answer to because it's in somebody else. And so don't forget that in following God's will. Take it out of the, you know, prayer closet and bring it out. That, write the vision and make it clear so those who run by it can see it. Those who walk by it can see it and run with it. God, it's all God's stuff. We are just, He's just giving us an opportunity to participate in it. And this is, and He likes people. And that's what it's going to include. So I just wanted to add that part so that the whole thing, you'll have the whole picture as you start yielding to God's will. Amen. Well, let's pray before we go. Father, I thank You that Your word brings forth much fruit and that we are good soil. I thank You, Lord, that You're the one that rebukes the devourer for our sake. So we say that none of the word that's planted in us today gets stolen by the devourer who wants to steal it. Let it take root and let it bring forth much fruit. And Father, I even pray right now over issues of the mind, that renewing of the mind will occur at every level for Your people. And if there's anything happening in the brain area of people right now, even at the sound of my voice that might not be here physically, but anyone with a brain issue, we speak healing to that area of your body right now in the name of Jesus. And we say that the Word of God heals. The same power that God created you from birth with is the same one that will go in and repair and heal what the enemy has stolen. So I thank You, Father, for doing Your mighty work and doing the impossible that we must rely on You for. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.